Hey guys, welcome back to Headline News with Resistance Chicks with a little twist. Merry Christmas. This is going to be our Christmas special. Tonight we have some really fun things. We've got the guitar. We're going to sing some Christmas carols. We've invited you into our living room. This is our manger scene behind us here on this baby grand piano. We should have had something scheduled for to play some songs on the piano. I wasn't even thinking. But seriously, guys, this is the reason for the season, and that is Jesus Christ. So we've got some miraculous stories. We're going to tell some of our own fun stories from Christmas, and I am so excited for you guys to be able to be with us celebrating this Christmas.
So grab a cup of coffee, maybe you've got some pie left over, and join us. We want to celebrate Christmas with you.
This is the Christmas Eve that we've all been waiting for. Lives are going to change, not just because of the Resistance Chicks Christmas special, but because of what God is doing in the world right now. We'll be right back after these messages. All right, so here's the deal. I feel like the left, the globalists, the powers that be, whether it's Joe Biden talking about his cold, dark winter, I don't feel very cold right now. Global warming. Why are they saying it's going to get cold? Everything's supposed to get hotter, right? I don't know. I am so excited about Christmas this year. I've been really excited. You know, it was like 2 months ago, God spoke to you and was like, listen, we're going to be celebrating Christmas hard this year.
To like make everyday Christmas. What I didn't realize was that we were going to try to make it happen.
Mm.
I saw somebody post on their Facebook, it doesn't feel like Christmas. And everybody was like, yeah, it doesn't.
I feel fairly Christmassy. Do you guys feel Christmassy?
You try to put it on. I think you do a really good job. But no, I really don't think anybody feels Christmassy. Not a lick of one person except for maybe you.
I'm a little last minute on my Christmas cards. That's the only thing that has me feeling not Christmassy is that I'm a little bit punched. But you know what? I figure I'm going to take some stress off of y'all. If you're watching this, it's Christmas Eve and your stack of Christmas cards is still sitting there unfilled out. It's okay. You have until New Year's Eve to get Christmas cards to people.
Really
I have decided that you, and if you're going with the, what is it? The 12 days of Christmas.
Oh yeah.
You got until like the, January, what is that? 5th or 6th or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to just calm down. So I don't know. Take a deep breath. Christmas cards are going to get out. The presents are going to get wrapped. And if they're late, it doesn't matter. You know what? I've ordered some Founders Bibles from thefoundersbible.com. They haven't come yet. So you know what? If somebody gets a present after Christmas, hey, that's really fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the White House, we found out today.
Grumpy, Grinchy
White House. And basically, I'm going to paraphrase. Basically put out a statement saying, vaccinated, you're doing a good job.
Oh my gosh.
You unvaccinated, be prepared, you and your family, for disease and death and dying and awfulness.
Death and dying are the same thing.
Well, for them, it's multiple.
No, actually,
multiple
hang
stages.
Let's exactly. Let's
pain.
Break this down. Dying is when you're on your way to death.
Yeah.
So what you should have said is dying and death.
Yeah.
Because there's the dying phase, and then there's the death phase, and they want you to focus on all of that darkness.
Yeah. Donald Trumpy, was on O'Reilly. He was in a meeting with O'Reilly. And
Bill O'Reilly, remember when he had a Fox News segment and then he had some, I'm not sure that I'm really sticking with Bill O'Reilly because he had some indiscretions and everything.
So, interestingly, he was with an audience and he said that he was vaccinated and boosted. And O'Reilly said he was vaccinated and boosted. And that by not being vaccinated, we're playing into their hands. But he says this, you shouldn't have to be forced to, but you should do it.
It's unbelievable. I can't even with this guy. All right, and y'all know we love President Trump, but there is something wrong about what he's doing and all of this insanity of push. And can we just make light of this for 1 second? Did they really say that they were boosted?
Yeah.
Is there like a button, like a little button that says
booster.
Boost?
You got your booster.
Beam me up, Scotty. I need a jetpack, okay, to feel that boost. The boosted boost.
Boosted.
You know, it's an energy. It's not an energy. It's old people drink. So, I mean, yeah, boosted.
So, actually, Dr. Ben Carson is actually a doctor. And one.
Oh, a legit doctor?
Actually should be. Here's the thing. Look at this. Dr. Ben Carson is a literal brain surgeon.
Brain surgeon.
Why wasn't he put in charge of our national health?
That's a good question.
Okay, I think the powers that be didn't want him there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he actually thinks straight. And I don't think he could have gone along with this globalist narrative. He came out with, it was an article I read in Zero Hedge where he said, this pandemic would be over and should be over if we used early treatment.
Oh, you mean like ivermectin?
He said ivermectin. He said hydroxychloroquine. He said monoclonal antibodies. Mm-hmm. He said there's no reason for this to be prolonged.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why Mr. Trump is not listening to Dr. Ben Carson or his son, Eric, who was at the Health and Freedom Tour.
Exactly. And now Eric came out with a meme earlier this week. I think it was actually last week. And it said, what was it? It was essentially, he was just saying that the vaccine is, oh, I know. There was somebody that was looking with a magnifying glass at a wad of money and said, yes, this vaccine has been proven to be safe and effective, meaning they're just looking at the money. That's the bottom line for them. Mm-hmm. And so if Eric Trump is awake, there's a little hope.
There's a lot of hope.
Right?
There's a lot of hope.
I meant for Trump. We have hope in general.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're hoping that Trump comes around. I know that our good friend Scott Kesterson over Bards FM hits this a lot harder than we do. But I wanted you guys to be aware. And I know it's kind of feels a little scary for some people who are like, it's just easier if Trump is just doing the right thing.
I know.
But
you don't want to have to think for yourself.
We're celebrating Christmas right now. And Jesus came as this child to take us from darkness to light. And
Jesus, little baby Jesus. Look at that.
He grew and he took our sins upon him. And with that, he gave us the keys to the kingdom. And we're all part of the body of Christ. And we all have an opportunity to stand up and to do what's right and to say what's right. And we have to fly now. We have to fly, okay, you guys?
Gonna fly now. Is that from Rocky?
It's a Rocky theme, yeah. Yeah, speaking of Rocky, I have another Rocky. I actually have, this is a fantastic book. I got it from the Jenny Museum. This is, it's a Christian homeschool book. And this is the children's version. The Mighty Works of God. Do not be turned away because I guarantee you that there's a lot of history that you don't know. And then there's actually, I have the teacher's guide.
You can get these books on the Jenny, JENNEY.org.
This is by Ruth J. Smith and Lynn Meyer. Why am I bringing this up? Because these books talk about the divine providence that founded our country and how our founding fathers were led by Jesus, by divine providence, by God himself. And we're in a moment right now in time where we need to all be led by the power of God, each individually. There's so many stories where it wasn't just one guy. It wasn't just George Washington. And so what I'm saying is it can't just be Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. The revolution was won by thousands of men and women on their knees, thousands of them making thousands of decisions, right and wrong, to change the course of this nation. And we covered the Boston Tea Party on our show on Friday and how it is nothing compared to the BLM riots. And if you know the real story of the Boston Tea Party, David Barton laid that out with Wallbutters. Check out our Friday night episode and you'll see how the Boston Tea was thrown in the harbor after much consideration. And if they didn't, they were going to have to pay a tax.
Exactly.
As soon as it landed on the soil, they were going to owe money.
So they had to stop it from coming because they were going to be robbed.
It wasn't
if it wasn't stopped.
It wasn't an act of rebellion. Okay. Exactly. It was an act of stopping the theft of their own goods and their own money. So this story, you may know, maybe you don't.
I want to pause. Not the recording of this. So we've invited you into our living room.
Yes.
Now, you guys may not know that we have an amazing uncle that we take care of that lives with us. His room is right there. Now, his door is closed, but he's watching something that sounds really fun. He always watches the coolest old Westerns. So we're not in a studio with fancy noise-canceling whatever. So just be happy that he's in his room watching something like John Wayne-y.
Yeah, I think it's Cheyenne he's watching earlier. A Christmas surprise. It was the Christmas night in 1776, the second year of the Revolutionary War. and the Hessian soldiers were making merry at Trenton. They were Germans who had been hired by the King of England to help him conquer the American rebels. Just then, there was no fighting on hand. They had good warm quarters, plenty to eat, and plenty to drink. They feasted and they drank, they sang songs, and they told stories. They were in the best of spirits, for Washington, the commander-in-chief of the Americans, was retreating. "There won't be much more trouble from him," declared one soldier. "We had to leave the Hudson, and we have chased him out of New Jersey and into Pennsylvania." "We'll soon be in Pennsylvania ourselves, in Philadelphia," said another, "and that will be the end of the war. They say Washington troops are deserting by the hundreds." The party went on until late in the night, and then the men went to their warm beds and to heavy sleep. About the time that their feasting began, Washington marched his men down to the opposite bank of the Delaware. The ground was covered with snow. It was bitterly cold. The sleet was driving furiously. The river was full of masses of floating ice, pitching, tumbling, and plunging in the strong current, but boats were waiting at the shore. They were rowed by fishermen from Marblehead who knew how to meet the storms. The soldiers got into the boats. The fishermen rowed and paddled and pushed away the cakes of ice with long poles. The wind blew more furiously. The sleet was more biting, but at last the boats came to the New Jersey side of the river. The men leaped or tumbled ashore as well as they could in the storm and the darkness. Then they swung their arms. They stamped their feet. They marched back and forth. They jumped and they ran. Anything to keep them from freezing.
Storm, we know what that's like.
Yeah. The storm was growing no worse. There was no shelter. The storm was growing worse. There was no shelter. And on the riverbank, they must wait till the boats had been back and forth many times and had brought the whole force across. 10 hours they waited all through the terrible night of tempest.
Trenton, you ever been out in the cold for 10 hours?
It's freezing. Yeah.
Like, it's hard to endure something that lasts an hour or two.
Here's a picture.
Okay.
The picture.
That's actually the picture, I think, on the front of the book, too.
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah. So Trenton was 9 miles away, but Washington had given the word to march on. One man actually froze to death.
Oh, jeez.
And a little later, a second was overcome by the cold. "The muskets were wet and cannot be fired," an officer reported. "Use the bayonets, then," replied Washington. "The town must be taken." And he pushed on towards Trenton. Wow. He divided his men into two parties, and in the early gray of the morning, they entered the town by two different roads. Washington planted his cannon so as to sweep the streets. The Hessians rushed out, almost dazed by the sudden attack. They ran in one direction, and a volley of musket balls met them. They ran in another, and the cannon mowed them down, and another, and a bayonet charge drove them back. The commander ran out half-dressed and tried to form his lines, but he was shot down. In 1 hour, Washington was master of the place. He had lost two men, and he had taken nearly 1,000 prisoners. The British general Cornwallis was in New York, getting ready to return to England, for he thought the rebellion of the colonies was so nearly over that he need not stay in America any longer. The news from Trenton was an unpleasant surprise, but he started out promptly to crush that troublesome Washington, who never seemed to understand that he was beaten and would not stay beaten. Yeah, go ahead.
What does that sound like? You know, I wish my phone wasn't the one recording this, because I was sent a meme today with Pepe the Frog in a chair, and then one of those stick figures with a mask on its face with a stick in its hand kind of pointing at Pepe that says, "Please die from COVID." And then Pepe looks back and says, "No." Okay? They keep trying. They won't stay down. Can you imagine the conversations that these are real people? Okay? Trump has mentioned them before. Now, we know that they exist, and behind closed doors, every single time, their plan becomes null and void, and they've got to be pulling their hair out, going, why won't they stop already? Why won't they die already? Why won't they give up already? And they don't know. What they have to be asking themselves, what in them is making them, no matter how much we beat them, no matter how much we take away from them, no matter how many times we slander them or we censor them or we take them off of social media platforms or we put them in jail, we have them beaten so that their eyes are gone. This is literally happening right now. And none of it is working on us. And they have to be asking themselves, why won't they stay down? Because they don't know. They don't know that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's this spirit of unity, this spirit of 1776, the divine providence that is in us, that keeps us going. We will not back down. We will not be pushed into a corner. We will not stop, and we will continue to fight. And this is the exact same thing that all of the apostles went through when it came to defending and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. All but one gave their lives for that advancement of the kingdom. And we have that within us, knowing that this home is not the end. We talk about this on our show all the time. They believe in transhumanism. They want to live forever. And in order for them to live forever, they have to be put into a box. Now, you and I know that even if they were to put their whatever into a robot, it's not real. It's fake. They are in hell at that point. Okay. They are not continuing to live on. Maybe some sort of memory of them lives on, but their soul is not in that robot. But we know that this earth is not our home. And that's why we continue to fight. And this is the exact same thing that they did.
It is, absolutely. He will not stay down. He would not stay beaten. Cornwallis had more men than the Americans, and Washington did not want to fight a battle with him. Cornwallis will come upon us, but keep him away as long as you can, was Washington's order to part of his troops. And therefore, the British had a hard time in their march across New Jersey to Trenton. A storm of bullets would come suddenly from some little thicket on one side of the road. And by the time the trees had been well peppered with British shot, another laden storm would come from some thicket on the other side. A few hundred men with two cannon were continually attacking him in front. He could make them retreat, but he could not make them hurry. And it was late in the afternoon when he came to Trenton. Washington was not in the town, but just across a stream that flows into the Delaware. The troops that had been such a torment to Cornwallis, who retreated across the bridge and joined their comrades. The British officer said, "Let us attack him at once," but Cornwallis replied, "No, our men are tired out and it will soon be dark. He is safe enough. In the morning, we shall have 2,000 more troops and we can shut him in between the stream and the Delaware. He will have to surrender and then the rebellion will be over." He wrote a letter home which said, "We have run down the old fox and we will bag him in the morning." There seemed nothing that Washington could do but prepare to fight. All night long, his campfires burned along the south side of the stream. The British sentinels on the north side could see the men piling on wood. They could hear the noise of spades and pickaxes. They could even hear the soldiers talking together. But when it began to grow light, the British found that Washington and his army had slipped away quietly in the middle of the night. A few men had remained behind to keep the fires burning and to make as much noise as possible with their spades and pickaxes, but they too were gone. They had run through the woods and joined their commander. The British were welcome to the gravel that had been shoveled up and to the ashes of the campfires, but nothing else was left for them. When Cornwallis stood on the bank of the stream, gazing across at the deserted camp, he heard the booming of cannon 10 miles away. That was from Princeton, he thought. The old fox is there already, and he will try to destroy our stores at Brunswick. This was exactly what Washington had planned to do. At Princeton, he met the British forces just starting to go and help Cornwallis conquer him. There was a sharp fight, and the Americans won that day. Cornwallis was in pursuit, of course, but there were several streams between the armies. They were badly swollen by a sudden thaw, and Washington had unkindly burned the bridges. The British marched with dripping uniforms into the streets of Princeton, but Washington was not there. He had hoped to go on to Brunswick, but his men were too tired and too nearly barefooted for a march of 18 miles. So he made his way to the heights of Morristown, and there he was safe for the winter.
Wow.
And that story, there's actually a backstory to all of this, and this is from the teacher's manual, where it talks about the American War for the Independence provides many examples of God's care and superintendence being exercised over battles. The events of Christmas 1776 certainly provide a dramatic example of God's perfect timing. It had been said that Christmas night was fixed upon for this enterprise. because the Germans were prone to revel and carouse on that festival, and it was supposed a great part of the troops would be intoxicated and in a state of disorder and confusion. But in truth, Washington would have chosen an earlier day had it been in his power. Quote, "We could not ripen matters for the attack before the time mentioned," he said in a letter to Reed. Quote, "Early on the eventful evening, December 25th, the troops destined for Washington's part of the attack, about 2,400 strong, with a train of 20 small pieces, were paraded near McConkie's Ferry, ready to pass as soon as it grew dark, in the hope of being all on the other side by 12 o'clock. Washington repaired to the ground, accompanied by Generals Greene, Sullivan, Mercer, Stephen, and Lord Stirling. Boats being in readiness, the troops began to cross about sunset. The weather was intensely cold. The wind was high, the current strong, the river full of floating ice. There were men accustomed to battle with the elements, yet with all their skill and experience, the crossing was difficult and perilous. Washington, who had crossed with the troops, stood anxiously, yet patiently on the eastern bank while one precious hour after another elapsed until the transportation of the artillery should be effected. The night was dark and tempestuous. The drifting ice drove the boats out of their course and threatened them with destruction. Colonel Knox, who attended to the crossing of the artillery, assisted with his labors, but still more with his stentorian lungs, giving orders and directions. It was 3 o'clock before the artillery was landed, and nearly 4 before the troops took up their line of march. Trenton was 9 miles distant and not to be reached before daylight. To surprise it, therefore, was out of the question. There was no making a retreat without being discovered and harassed in reprising the river. Beside, the troops from the other points might have crossed, and cooperation was essential to their safety. Washington resolved to push forward and to trust in Providence. This is actually an excerpt from Washington Irving, The Life of George Washington. And it makes it, it shows how, number one, it was colder. So I guess maybe we have a little global warming going on, because I don't see any ice right now in the Hudson. But
You know, years, they change.
No, I'm just kidding. We're in a place right now where there's a lot of different generals and there's a lot of troops. And some of us kind of feel like our feet are a little, our shoes are a little threadbare.
Yeah.
Our coats are a little threadbare. Our shoes have some holes in them. We're coming to you on Brighteon. Thank God for Mike Adams and Brighteon.
Yes.
Shop at the Brighteon store. Save 5% with resistant chicks code.
Promo code chicks.
And help support Brighteon store and get yourself wonderful products that will help keep you healthy in the midst of this crazy battle.
But what you're saying is we're not suffering like this.
We are not suffering, but we're in a way it's digital. People feel it because they we're not feeling it physically,
right?
But mentally and emotionally, like what they keep saying is you don't have a voice. You don't have a voice. And we thought we grew up in a country where we thought we had a voice.
Yeah.
And now we're realizing that we don't, and we have to fight to get it back.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to do, continuing every Friday on Brighteon at 6 p.m. We're going to keep fighting right alongside with you. But don't go anywhere, because we have more coming up on our Christmas special. Like I said, we've got some songs. We've got some stories of our own Christmases. So you're not going to want to miss what's coming up right after these messages. Okay, so Leah kind of left us in the middle of a story. So let's jump right back in, because I'm excited to see how this ends.
Yeah, so we kind of told you how it ends, but I wanted to give you a little bit more information on what was really going on that night of 1776 Christmas evening.
It had to be significant, right?
Yeah.
God had to have been there. These soldiers, you know, we talk about this cold, dark winter that we're in the middle of.
They were in a cold, dark winter.
They were in a legit cold, dark winter. They were fighting for the freedoms that we now have. And so God is not going to allow these to slip through our fingers, because too many people paid too big of a price to give it to us.
Exactly. It was 3 o'clock before the artillery was landed and nearly 4 before the troops took up their line of march. Trenton was 9 miles distant and not to be reached before daylight. To surprise it, therefore, was out of the question. There was no making a retreat without being discovered and harassed in repassing the river. Beside, the troops from the other points might have crossed, and cooperation was essential to their safety. Washington resolved to push forward and trust in what?
God. Providence. Divine providence.
Into God. The Hessian journals before us enable us to give the reader a glance into the opposite camp on this eventful night. The situation of Washington was more critical than he was aware. Notwithstanding the secrecy with which he plans, which his plans had been conducted, Colonel Rao had received a warning from General Grant at Princeton of the intended attack and of the very time it was to be made, but stating that it was to be by a detachment under Lord Stirling. Rao was accordingly on the alert. It so happened that about dusk of this very evening, when Washington must have been preparing to cross the Delaware, there were alarm guns and firings at the Trenton outpost. The whole garrison was instantly drawn out under arms, and Colonel Rao hastened to the outpost. It was found in confusion and six men wounded. A body of men had emerged from the woods, fired upon the picket, and immediately retreated. Colonel Rao, with two companies and a field piece, marched through the woods and made the rounds of the outpost, but seeing and hearing nothing and finding all quiet, returned. Supposing this to be the attack against which he had been warned.
Oh, no!
And that it was a mere flash in the pan.
Yikes.
He relapsed into his feeling of security, and as the night was cold and stormy, he permitted the troops to return to their quarters and lay aside their arms. Thus the garrison and its unwary commander slept in fancied security. At the very time that Washington and his troops were making their toilsome way across the Delaware, how perilous would have been their situation had their enemy been more vigilant. It began to hail and snow as the troops commenced their march, and increased in violence as they advanced. The storm driving the sleet into their faces, so bitter was the cold, and we talked about this, that two men were froze to death that night.
Oh. Jeez.
It was about 8 o'clock when Washington's column arrived in the vicinity of the village. The storm, which had rendered the march intolerable, had kept everyone within doors, and the snow had deadened the tread of the troops and the rumbling of the artillery, so you couldn't really hear it, right? The advance guard was led by a brave young officer, Captain William A. Washington, second by Lieutenant James Monroe, and years after he was president of the United States. Washington had been exposed to, you see how many people actually became president who actually fought in the Revolutionary War, okay, or were part in forming the government. The force with which he had crossed, 2,400 men, raw troops, had not enough to cope with the veteran garrison had it been properly on its guard. And then there were the troops under Dunup at hand to cooperate with it. Nothing saved him but the utter panic of the enemy, their want of proper alarm places, and their exaggerated idea of his forces. "For our whole ill luck," writes Lieutenant Peel, "we have to thank Colonel Rawl. It never occurred to him that the rebels might attack us, and therefore he had taken scarce any precautions against such an event. In truth, I must confess, we had universally thought too little of the rebels, who until now have never on any occasion been able to withstand us. Our brigadier, Rawl, was too proud to retire a step before such an enemy, although nothing remained for us to do but to retreat."
So they underestimated the rebels. And, you know, we call ourselves the resistance chicks because we are resisting tyranny, and we are resisting an institution that would try to keep us from living free in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And that is exactly what they were doing. And I'm telling you guys, they are underestimating us in such a massive way. And here's the deal. They weren't fighting alone, and we aren't fighting alone. And that is how I know unequivocally that we win.
Washington relied on divine providence. You can read his writings. He prayed. He wrote his family about him, his prayers. He was on his knees, and he was asking God, show me what to do. And so I made a video the other day outside by the pig pen, and I was thinking about Austria and how they're going to have to pay $4,000 every 3 months, or they're going to go to jail, and how much that would be for my family of five. And
just for not being vaccinated, not just to keep, you know, going into the grocery store or something like that, just in general, to like be alive in their country,
even just to sit in your own home.
Yeah.
Right. And what would I do? And at that point, Michelle and I were like, we'd flee to Switzerland, like sound the music. But really, we would just pray.
Yeah.
Because there's always a way out, and God always provides a way of escape.
Well, think about the children of Israel. They were pushed up against the Red Sea, and it looked like that was it. That Pharaoh's army was going to come down on them, just like these people trying to jab us in the arm and throw us in jail. It feels impossible, but that's when God shines the most.
Yeah.
So we're going to take you on a little sing-along. Now, I don't know how much you can sing along with this one.
Well, I was going to tell some stories. I was just thinking about, like, what's a favorite Christmas memory that you had? And I was thinking about one that I had where we lived in an apartment. I was going to Rhema. You guys remember the first Health and Freedom Conference? It was at Rhema Bible Training Center, Bible College. That was where I went to school. And I graduated with a degree in evangelism. And we lived in an apartment. It was about 3 minutes from Rhema. And we lived in the top floor, and we kind of felt like it was a little bit like a resort because it overlooked the pool. Anyways, it was a very cold, dark winter. One winter we had there, but it was fun, and we didn't have a fireplace, so we like made a cardboard fireplace.
No, it wasn't just cardboard. No, man, this is out of construction paper.
It was really fun. It looked really neat. It actually kind of
we drew bricks on the red paper. We had black in the center. We had a flame.
It looked legitimately like a fireplace.
We took our Christmas picture in front of this construction paper fireplace.
It legitimately looked like a fireplace, and it actually made it feel nice. It sounds silly, but it was something that we did. I was, you know, in my early 20s. It was fun. Mom had a lot of great ideas. Mom was always coming up with great ideas. One year we did all blue and white decorations. So we had a tree, and everything was blue and white. But this particular Christmas, it was very cold, and we got an ice storm.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get those really here in Ohio very much, but they have them a lot in Oklahoma where you get thick ice on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And so
that's on the ground on literally everything.
On everything, right. So there's a huge parking lot, and it's covered with a half inch to an inch of ice. I mean, a lot of ice. And so we put on our winter coats and our hats and our gloves and our gym shoes. And we went ice skating.
In the parking lot.
And it was so fun. We literally went ice skating through this giant parking lot. It felt like ice skating. It was so fun.
Well, there was so much more to that.
And it was free.
To that specific Christmas. You know, we live in Ohio right now. But for 5 years, we lived in Oklahoma while Leah went to school there. And we left everything. My mom left her job. I left my gymnastics. It wasn't really a career, but I left being a gymnast. And we left our youth group. We left everything, our family behind. And in this specific Christmas, we got back to the simple things. And this is what I want to encourage you guys to do, okay? We learned how to crochet. We learned how to knit. We went to Hobby Lobby and bought a bunch of yarn. We made handmade presents that we sent back to our family in Ohio. I remember I made some metalworks out of a hanger with my cousin's names on them. And in addition to that, every evening, we would read. We would read books out loud. I don't remember the stories that we were reading that Christmas.
It was like Christy or...
Yeah, I think
just
it was
like
Christy. You know, it wasn't just a TV show in the 90s. It was an actual book.
And there is something that activates in your brain when you read. And
you sit together as a family to do it. We would make hot chocolate.
And here's the thing. I think we're missing storytelling.
Yeah.
There's something that actually activates a healthy part of your brain that
absolutely.
We think that is being filled by watching television.
Right.
And we think, oh, reading out loud in a group, who would do that? Well, I just read this to you. There is something amazing that happens to your soul that is healing to read a story out loud.
And they knew
that's
that.
Why it puts kids to sleep, right? It's healthy for kids to hear stories.
It's good
read.
For adults too. And you guys may not know this, but during the time when our schooling was used, we used the McGuffey readers. One of the things that they focused on a lot was orotation, like to be a good orator, to be able to read things aloud
and to put emphasis on them. Yeah.
That was part of their grade. We don't do that anymore. And I think that we need to get back to that. So as a family, we're always pushing you guys to start homeschooling your kids. But even if you're not homeschooling, you can still school at home. You can practice that. You can have them stand up and learn how to read. We used to do Shakespeare in our house, and we'd change out hats and stuff like that. So it was just...
We have, as a society, just kind of sectioned off things to just watch other people do.
I know.
You know, I honestly, I'm not a sport watcher. I want to play it.
Yes.
Okay? I don't want to watch baseball. I want to play softball. Yeah. I don't want to watch... people act. I want to be the person. You do watch some of the older
groups. You have to lose some of your inhibitions.
You do.
It's good for you.
It is good for you.
People ask us all the time, how do you just get up there and get in front of a camera?
Well,
because we've been doing this kind of thing our entire lives.
Because our mom taught us, because it's good for people.
It's
good for you to engage with other human beings.
Yeah.
You have a favorite memory?
I do, actually. And mine goes back quite a bit further than Leah's. We... right now, Leah and I own a house that was our grandmother's. And when my parents had gotten divorced and my mom was a single mom because my dad was abusive, we had to come and live with my grandma on and off a couple of times because my mom really wanted to be able to spend time with us. And she would work odd hours so that she could be with us during the day. And there was one Christmas, I think I was about six, and we lived here and it was late at night and my mom didn't have any money. And so what she did is she went to my grandmother and she said, can you lend me? I think back then it was probably just $100. Now it probably would have been like $500 or $600, honestly. And she borrowed money from my grandma and she went to the store and she came home with a boatload of toys. Now, my memory of this is different than my mom's and maybe even Leah's, but my memory was the intention behind why my mom did what she did. She wanted to give us a joyful Christmas and it had nothing to do with the toys. She came home and she brought these things upstairs and we didn't even wait for Christmas morning. She just brings these toys up. Leah and I were in bed. We hopped out of bed. Here comes mom lugging up all these toys. We didn't know that we weren't going to have a Christmas, but our mom did. And it was a very sad, I think, Christmas for my mom because she wanted to be able to have this money on her own. But for me to see that my mom was sacrificing everything to make it special for us. And it didn't matter that we didn't have a home of our own. It didn't matter that my mom had to work several jobs. It didn't matter to me that my mom had to borrow money from my grandmother. My grandma probably ended up giving it to her anyway. What mattered was that my mom loved me. And no matter where we were at, and we have had, our childhood was so difficult. Our mom loved us and she would a lot of times make us gifts. Right? You want to talk about another Christmas that meant so much to me was the Christmas that my mom made us these quilts. Look, Leah's got tears in her eyes. She made us these absolutely beautiful blanket quilts because my mom used to work at a, it was called Perry and Derrick way back when. It was a paint store, but they also did interior design and there was fabric swatches. And she would get to take these books like Waverly home and she would cut these, take the time to cut them out and wash them and iron them and make these beautiful quilts for us. And I remember we used to have these Snoopy blankets. Yes. And my mom, as a way to preserve them, she put them in the layer of the blanket and then put lace fabric on top so you could still see the Snoopies through these blankets. And my mom was always trying to give us the very best, but here's what the best was. It wasn't toys. It wasn't even the handmade gifts. It was her love, and it was her showing us the love of Christ. And so I can say that every Christmas that I have spent with my mom, because early on we weren't able to spend Christmases with our mom. We had to spend
We were at our dad's every Christmas morning for my whole life.
But from the time I think I was 15 or 16 years old on, I've been able to spend every Christmas with my mom, including the time that we spent Christmas in the hospital because she had gallstones and had to have gallstone surgery, has been a blessing. And so God is the Redeemer. He is so gracious. He is so good. He is so kind and he is so loving. And Christmas, it doesn't matter whether you're in the ER because your mom has gallstones or you don't have any toys. Be with the ones that you love. Open up the Bible, read the Christmas story, and share stories with one another. And that is what Christmas is all about.
So we have a special song for you. Someone had taken the Hallelujah song and made it a Christian song.
I heard about a baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy. I just wanna sing this song to you. It goes like this, a fourth and fifth, a minor fall and a major lift. And with every breath I take, it's hallelujah. 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 Okay. came to Bethlehem, expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place where you were calm and soothe you. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger laid with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel, the Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Star shone bright up in the east, Bethlehem, the wise men three came many miles and journey long for you. And in the place in which you were, their frankincense and gold and myrrh they gave to you, and you cried hallelujah, hallelujah. Came to rescue me, this baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive a nail in you, that rugged cross was my cross too, still every breath you drew was hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to do a lot of Christmas musicals at our church, and our mom was always instrumental in that. And I remember one Christmas where she brought everybody poinsettias to wear, and so the choir was up there and they all had on their poinsettias, which I just thought was so fascinating and beautiful. But I remember also, and I don't know where this is associated with, but I remember seeing pins, maybe my mom can get that, said hallelujah next to them. So I think that either someone, I just have that memory of that hallelujah.
I know she always would go around wearing a pin that said Jesus is reason for the season.
Every Christmas our mom did that, and our mom was always dressed sharp.
The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They look it up and saw the star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth he gave great light, and so it continues both day and night.
Christmas from our family to yours. Jesus is the reason for this season. Be blessed. Hey guys, so that was filmed. I hope you can hear me on the mic here. Check, 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 check. That was filmed for our Bridie on TV segment that I thought was going to air at our regular time at 6 o'clock and didn't. So I decided to come on here and stream it for you guys for Christmas. So we celebrated Christmas with Uncle Jack and his sons, which are like brothers to us, and their kids this afternoon. And it was a lot of fun. Leah and Kansas Cowboy are out delivering Christmas cookies right now. Yes, we are that Walton-ish. Yes, can hear you. Thank you, Anne. But what I want to do is I'm going to stop the Rumble stream. Hi, Rumble. And finish this off with the ending that we normally end it with so that that video can kind of be rounded off and I can download it and share it everywhere. But anybody that's watching on Twitch or Clout Hub, or DLive, actually, I may go ahead and stop the Clout Hub stream as well. But what I want to do, at least for the Twitch and the DLive and Josh Who viewers, is I'm going to continue this exact stream. So don't go anywhere. And I'm going to play a rerun of last night's Christmas special, which we did right here in the studio with Kansas. And we sang songs and we opened up presents and we did a live giveaway. So if you're listening, the live giveaway has been done. Vicky from the Vaccine Choice Canada won the Founders Bible, but it was a really fun show last night. It lasted for like 2 hours and 45 minutes. So if you don't have anything to do this Christmas Eve, then I want to encourage you to stay here for the rerun of our program from last night. I think you're really going to enjoy it and spending time with us. It's a kind of a downgraded version of the show because of where I had to have it saved, but I still think you're going to love it. And we will see you on Sunday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time for our European and world news. And we'll be continuing on with our Christmas theme. So let me sign off here with the ending. So wait for the ending to play. And then I'm going to turn off Cloud Hub and I'll turn off Rumble. But I'm going to keep you guys on DLive and Twitch and Josh Who TV so you can sit with us in the chat and watch the rerun from last night. So remember, guys, it's not just a conspiracy theory. If it's actually the truth, we love you. God loves you. God bless and Merry Christmas. I was cold all along. No place for